go out to dinner and see a movie.
Well, if dinner and a movie are in your plans this weekend, we can help you out. In 1963, think back now, an author and artist, Maurice Sendak, invited kids to go to a land of make-believe wilder and more fantabulous than anything seen before, I think it's fair to say, a place where a little kid could be king. Where the Wild Things Are was a powerful story with even more powerful images. The book won the Caldecott Medal for Outstanding Children's Picture Book. And now, after years of production, director Spike Jonze, and Dave Eggers have made a place for The Wild Things we can all visit on the big screen. The movie comes out this weekend. Joining us is Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, and Bruce Handy, senior editor for Vanity Fair and frequent contributor to the New York Times Book Review. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
So, Bruce, 1963, Where the Wild Things was published, Where the Wild Things Are was published. It was a controversial book in the beginning, right?
Well, yeah, very much so. I think these days we're so used to it, we don't realize quite how radical it was. I mean, for one thing, it was a very common idea at the time that the book was, like, maybe too scary for children. You know, librarians and parents were very worried about this. I actually saw there was a great article in Ladies Home Journal where Bruno Bettelheim, the child psychologist, and a bunch of housewives had a roundtable discussion about how scary this was, and he was kind of warning them off it.
And, of course, they'd never read the Grimm Brothers in the original German.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And, it's interesting, too, because, Bettelheim had actually written a lot about traditional fairy tales, so the fact that he thought this was, so scary kind of really says something. The other thing I think that's interesting about it is, that people don't realize how radical it was, is just the fact that it's so concise, it's so poetic, and it has, the narrative, it's actually a very strange book. It has all this kind of very, very intense sort of dream logic to it. I mean, I as a kid was kind of put off by it. It didn't really, it was a book that didn't really work for me. I found it kind of bizarre.
Interesting.
More than entrancing.
Well, Bruce Handy, contributed to the New York Times Book Review, senior editor for Vanity Fair. I never read the book. I just looked at the pictures and was brought into it visually. Rafer Guzman, it would seem that such a visual tour de force as a book would make a natural movie. Why wasn't this produced in, 1976?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, the movie itself has taken many years to get off the ground. I think it's taken somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 years for Spike Jonze and Dave Eggers to make it.
Whose fame came from a memoir about his dying parents.
That's right. That's right. I think they do a pretty good job of capturing that kind of that feeling of anger and rage that you have when you're a child, especially in the movie's opening scenes. It seems to me that the film gets a little bogged down in that kind of negative emotional territory. Once Max goes to the wild things, to the kingdom of the wild things, things start to get a pretty intense and a little exhausting for my taste.
And the movie makes some attempts to try to cheer things up. Here's a clip.
Carol. Did you know the son was gonna die?
What? I never heard that. Oh, come on. That can't happen. And you're the king. And look at me. I'm big. How could guys like us worry about a tiny little thing like the sun?
The voice of James Gandolfini trying to cheer up Max there in the Where the Wild Things Are movie. Bruce Handy, did this movie work for you? You saw it.
It was interesting. I think they made maybe the best movie they could make out of the book. I mean, it's very respectful. It's very heartfelt. For me, it didn't really still maybe justify itself. It's inherently problematic. They have to flesh it out. They have to give Max motivation at the beginning of the story. Like, why is he mad? Why is he acting out? It turns out he's got a single mother. His big sister's mean to him, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you sort of have to do it. It's a movie. I mean, you're filling up 80 or 90 minutes or whatever. But, for me, and it's, in some ways, I know it's always not fair to compare a movie to a book. You should judge a movie on its own terms. But it was hard not to feel like they had kind of destroyed some of the, not destroyed is the wrong word, but they had, kind of leached out some of the poetry of the book.
And let's think for a minute about Polar Express. I mean, there's a book. Did you
right.
read Polar Express
right, right,
as a
right.
little kid? I mean, I wonder if these directors.
Oh, it's a hideous movie.
Hideous movie. Totally hideous. I mean, it seems like the filmmakers fall in love with the visuals so much that they end up making something kind of creepy. Is that the problem here, Rafer?
That was a problem with the movie. Jim Henson's Creature Shop did the costumes.
They look great.
Yeah, they do look great. One of the problems I know was that they couldn't get the facial expressions right on the physical on the physical outfits themselves, and they had to computer animate those in later. I think the real problem is not so much the visuals as the dialogue, which is you can maybe kind of tell from that clip. It's a little choppy. I mean, there are times when it almost sounds like it's a Beckett play. People are sort of speaking at cross purposes,
Beckett
just sort of
kids.
Making statements. Yeah, it gets a little strange midway through. And I think the real problem is that it tends to be a one-note film. It's really just a lot about anger, sorrow, regret, jealousy. There's not a lot of fun or discovery or whimsy in it. That seemed to be missing to me.
Well, go ahead.
There are a lot of complaints, I guess, from people saying that this is too creepy for kids. But, I mean, having my own 11-year-old, I find that an odd complaint. I mean, after we've seen things like Corpse Bride and even Coraline, extremely
Coraline.
Creepy.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, this cannot be. I haven't seen the entire film, but is it really creepier than some of the things we've seen for kids?
It didn't strike me. Creepy to me was not the problem. To me, I think the problem was that the film seems really intent on not shying away from the more painful aspects of childhood, and to me, as a result, it really just sort of puts its finger on that pain and never lifts it up.
No redemption, baby. You got to have redemption. Bruce, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, I think some kids might respond to that, but I just think kids might get bored a little bit. I mean, it kind of goes on, and there's all these kind of strange interactions, and they kind of build this sort of society out of these wild things, and there's, you know, they all have their own little backstories,
right.
And there's kind of to and froing, and there's not a lot of there's not a lot of dramatic momentum to the thing. It's very sort of meditative, which I think for kids is maybe not a.
Well, we shall see. It's going to have a huge weekend, certainly, and there was a lot of skepticism about the book in 1963, and it did just fine. We shall have to see Where the Wild Things Are opens this weekend. Bruce, you want to play some trivia with us here before we go?
Well, yeah, boy, I love that question. I was totally stumped by the
All right, well, let's remind people of the question. What was the last line to Gone with the Wind? Do you know it?
We know, but.
What is it?
Oh, frankly, my dear, I don't
know.
Nope.
Nope.
No,
wrong.
Tomorrow is.
Oh, of course. What an idiot. Oh, well.
Rafer?
You know what? I honestly don't know that
right.
one.
Tomorrow is another day.
Yes, yeah. Nice.
Yes.
Casablanca. Can you do Casablanca?
Rafer? I can do that one. Louis, this looks like the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Beautiful. All right. Can you name any movie where the last word is also the title of the movie? Rafer's got his.
I can name one? I think. Chinatown?
Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown.
Perfect. Can you name another one, Bruce?
The only thing I can think of is that it should have, you know, Citizen Kane should have been called Rosebud.
Right. It's not Citizen Kane. The other one is Spider-Man, the first
this
movie.
This is my gift. My curse. Who am I? I'm Spider-Man.
And the last one, the complete stumper, is the movie Grand Hotel from the 1930s.
Wow.
Grand Hotel. Well, Bruce Handy, thanks for playing. Deputy editor of Vanity Fair and frequent contributor to the New York Times Book Review.
Welcome.
Thanks so much. And Rafer Guzman, our film critic and the film critic for Newsday. Thanks a lot.